Tonight's shir is on this week's parsha, Parshas Vayetzeh. The title of the shir tonight is The Importance of a Name. So tonight we're going to look at the part of the parsha that deals with Leah's naming of her children. And we're going to try to understand what the purpose and the reason for the focus of the Torah is on the names that Leah gives to her children. So if you look in source number one, it's Bereishis Perek Chaf Tes, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. We'll read through the Psukim, and then we'll look through some of the Rishonim and Achronim to figure out what the Torah is trying to teach us. But it focuses a lot of energy on the names. Look in Pasuk Lamed Aleph. It says, Vayarad Hashem ki sinua Leah vayiftachetz rachma v'rachel akara. So Hashem saw that Leah was hated, not loved, and he opened up her womb, and Rachel was still barren. She had no children. Vatar Leah vateled bein vatikrushimo ruvein ki amra ki ra'ad Hashem b'oni ki atal yevani ishi. So Leah had a child, had a son, and she called him Ruvein. Why'd she call him Ruvein? Because she said that Hashem sees my affliction, my onyi, my inui, and now my husband will love me. So the first name is Ruvein, and it's tied to the concept that Hashem sees her pain, and now her husband will love her, Yaakov. Vatar od vatelet bein vatomer, kishamad Hashem kisnua anochi vayiten li gamezev vatikroshimo Shimon. Now the next son, Shimon, she names because she says that Hashem has heard that I am hated, and therefore he gave me this child, and she named him Shimon. Vatar od vatelet bein vatomer ata apam yilave ishi elai ki yalati lo shloshavanim al ken karashimo Levi. And then her third son, she says, now this time my husband will be attached to me. Yilaveh means attached to me, because I have three sons for him, and therefore she called his name Levi. And the last one, Lamed Hey, up to this point, she has more children, but Vatar od vatelet bein vatomer apam odes ad Hashem al king kara shemo Yehuda vatam od miledes. So her fourth son, she says that she's thanking Hashem, odeh oda, and therefore she calls him Yehuda based on her thanks towards Hashem, to Hashem. So again, the question is that the Torah, and this is just the first four, but the Torah mentions a lot in Vayetzeh about how the Imahos name their children, and the Torah spends a lot of time on the ideas behind Leah's naming of her children and Rachel naming of her children. So the question that we're going to start this year with is, why is the Torah so focused on the naming? Why is it so significant? What can we learn from the concept of the Imahos naming their children? Hold on one second. Alright, so the Medrash, in source number two, the Medrash mentions an idea that I think is really important before we can analyze what the purpose of the Torah is through the naming. There's an important introduction. So it says in source number two, it's a Seichel Tov Medrash, Amar of Yossi Bar Chanina, Arba Midos Nemru B'Shemos. There are four different characteristics that are mentioned with regard to names. Yesh Shmosa Na'en U'Masen Ku'urin. There are some individuals who have beautiful names, but their actions are really ugly. Kigon, Yishmael, Shemo, Shomea, Ve'eno Shomea. So the name Yishmael is a beautiful name, and it means that you hear, but he didn't hear. Esav, Shemo, Oseh, Ve'eno Oseh. Esav is a beautiful name. It sounds like the name means to do, but he didn't do. So those are two examples where people have beautiful names, but their actions are really ugly. They're really imperfect. Shemo sen ke'urin u'masem nam. Then there's the second characteristic, are people who have really bad names, but their actions are really good. Kegon, b'nei ha'gola, those who were in Bavel, b'nei bakbuk, b'nei ha'kufa, b'nei charchur. So these were the names of the people that came back to build the second Beis HaMikdash. V'aldu uvanu Beis HaMikdash. So even though they had bad names, the names didn't have good meanings, they had bad names, but nevertheless, they were still good, and they did good actions, perfected actions. They came back to Eretz Yisrael. Shmosen ku'urin, masen ku'urin. Then the third category are people who have ugly names and who act in an ugly fashion. Kigon, asar meraglim, sesur bar sesur. So one of the meraglim was sesur ben Michael. So he was the destructive, that was his nature, destructive, I think, stira. And the last is shmosen noin, masen noin. And then there are some who have nice names and who have good actions, and Kigon Yud Beis Shvatim. So the 12 Shvatim, the 12 tribes, they all had nice names and they had nice actions. So again, the Medrash just summarizes that there's four categories of people with regard to names. Some people have beautiful names, but don't act in accordance with them. Some people have really ugly names, and they're really great people, great individuals. Some people have ugly names and act in a poor fashion, and others, the last category, have nice names, beautiful names, and they act beautifully. So what can we learn from the Medrash? What's the Medrash teaching us? This Medrash is going on about Tikra Shmo Reuven. So what is it teaching us? So I think it's teaching us a critical idea. A lot of times, people place a lot of emphasis on how the name is going to fashion the person. And you think, oh, you're a certain type of person because you have this name. And especially when you're naming your children, when people name their children, a lot of times they fantasize that the name is really going to make the person who they are. So if you name your child Avraham, they will be Avraham. And if you name your child Haman, so they're going to turn into Haman. So a lot of times people believe, it's almost superstitious in nature, that a name has a greater significance on the personality of the person, when in reality, the Medrash is saying that a name could function to assist a person, it could function to harm a person, but ultimately, it doesn't have as significant of an impact on a person's personality as we fantasize about, as we think. It's more a reflection of the namer. It's more important to understand the mindset of the person naming the child than how the name affects the child. So I think that's a critical idea in analyzing this aspect of the Parsha, that it's true the Torah spends a lot of time and a lot of discussion on the naming of Leah and Rachel, of their children, but the point is that the names themselves don't have as significant of an impact on the person that's being named as they do as reflecting the person who's naming's personality, their traits, and their perfection. So I think if we approach this, we should approach this from the standpoint of how the names reflect on Leah and not how the names impact the people, impact the Shvatim. Because the Medrash shows you that a name, on the one hand, a name doesn't really have such an intrinsic relationship to the person, and it doesn't necessarily mean that the person is going to be good or bad based on the name, which is an important idea because I think it's breaking down a fantasy that people have when they name their children. So we should think when we're naming our children that we want to reflect a nice idea in our child. We hope that the child will be moved by the name, but ultimately it's not really as impactful as we think it is. So I think that's the important idea in the Medrash. So let's try to understand though why the Torah does spend so much time talking about Leah's naming of her children. So what does it reflect about Leah? So why does the Torah teach us this? So there's a very important Ramban. I might have mentioned it in a previous year, many years ago, but it's in source number 3. The Ramban talks about the introduction to Leah having children, and it's in source number 1, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, says, Vayar Hashem ki sinua Leah, that she was hated. So the Ramban explains, Hine Leah ramsa b'achosa gam b'yakov. So Leah tricked her sister. This is not according to the Medrash that says that Rachel gave her the signs, but rather it's saying that the pshat is Leah tricked her sister, gam b'yakov, and also she tricked Yaakov. Ki im nemar shenega kavod ba'avia. Perhaps she was just showing respect to her father. She'achaz ba, v'echnisa ilo v'altamer bo. So her father, Lavan, took her, and she couldn't rebel against him. She showed respect to him. And Lavan took her, and he basically put her in the tent with Yaakov. Haya lo lahagid o lirmos kihi Leah. She should have told Yaakov, and she should have hinted to Yaakov that she was Leah. Af ki haisa misnakeres kol laila. She was foreign to him all night. She didn't tell him. Ulfichach lo hikira atshara osa baboker. Yaakov only knew in the morning. He didn't even know that she was Leah until the morning. V'lachin sana Yaakov. So Yaakov really hated her. So when the Torah says kisnua Leah in the first pasuk, it really means that Yaakov hated Leah. And we don't usually learn it like that, but that's how the Ramban learns. Because he felt that she tricked him. She really tricked him, and she tricked her sister. V'alokim yodea ki li nase al atzadik asusa kein v'richem aleha. So Hashem knew that her intentions were really to attach herself to Yaakov, and he had mercy on her. V'chach amru b'vreishis rabba, and that's what it means when it says in Vreishis rabba, kevan shera Yaakov masim sheram salea b'achosa nasan daito l'garsha. The Medrash says that Yaakov was actually going to divorce Leah. He was so angry at the fact that he was tricked. V'chevan shepakta kadosh baruch hu b'vanim. But once she had children, Amar le'iman shel elu ani magarish. Yaakov said to the mother of these, can I really divorce? And that's what it means that Hashem saw her affliction by Reuven. It means that Hashem was kind to her so that Yaakov wouldn't divorce her and leave her. So that's the Shita of the Ramban. And the next Shita is the Radak. But we're going to hold off on the Radak. But the Ramban's saying a fascinating concept. That really, Yaakov really hated Leah. And the only reason why he didn't divorce her, ultimately, was because of the fact that Leah was the mother of his children. And he viewed her as the mother of his children. So I think the Ramban is telling us as an introduction to, you know, to the naming of Leah's children, you know, what exactly was the backdrop. And the backdrop is that Leah felt that she was hated by Yaakov, which was justified, and that she was really going to be divorced by him. And then Hashem has kindness towards her and gives her these children. So the idea I think the Ramban is hinting at is that there seemed to have been a transformation in Yaakov's perception of Leah. That initially Yaakov couldn't get over the idea that Leah had tricked him, and he couldn't love her. He had an emotional inability to really love her. He really hated her. But once her perception or her identity changed by being the mother of the Shvatim, so now that introduced a new identity to Yaakov. She was no longer the trickster, but now she was the mother of the Shvatim. And once she had a new identity, so Yaakov was really willing or able to see her in a different light and able to love her. So that's what the Chiddush of the Ramban is saying. But with that, we can explain the idea of the names. So Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch discusses a similar idea to the Ramban. I think he's in line with the Ramban. And he kind of describes the names as a transformation. And let's look at it inside. But it's really a transformation of Yaakov's relationship with Leah. So if you look in source number 4, it says, Mitoch HaShemos, Shehi Nosno Levanea, Anachnu Lemedim, Heich Ben Nosaf, Shialdo Levaila, Hafach Gam Es Libo Lahavasa. So from the names that Leah ascribes to her children, we see how Yaakov's love for Leah changed and it transformed. So initially, like the Ramban says, he hated Leah, but then through each child, there was a growing love for Leah. It says Tchila Ra'ad Hashem Ba'Ani Ad Kan Haisa Ahadefes Rachel Gluya L'Chol Ayin. So until this point, it was clear that Rachel was really the favored one, was more beloved, and everyone knew it. So that's why it says Ki Ra'ad Hashem Ba'Ani Davar Zeh Token Im Ledas Reuven. Once Reuven was born, it wasn't as clear who was loved more, how obvious the love for Rachel was over Leah. So it was somewhat diminished. Ach adayin hayanishma la'azna shaleah, but Leah still heard it. Even though it wasn't as obvious in an eyesight, it wasn't as obvious the distinction between Leah and Rachel and Yaakov's love for them, but it was still heard. Mitoch ni'imas diburo hi hergisha, from the pleasantness of his voice, she felt it. She felt it clear and distinct that the love for Rachel was far greater than the love for her. For herself, Shetarem Rachsha es Kol Avaso Alkein Kara es Shem Hasheni Shimon. So until his love was full towards Leah, she didn't sense that Yaakov really loved her as much as Rachel. So the second one is called Shimon as a reflection of the idea that it was Nishma LaUzna, that she still heard Yaakov's love for Rachel greater than herself. Then Imledas Hashlishi, but once Levi was born, Kfar Nishtashesh HaHevdel Kulo. Now there was a blurring of the distinction between his love for Leah and for Rachel. Varehi Mabias Bitchona, she is expressing her faith. Ki Me'ata Yu Beinehem Yichse Ishas Tehorim Mechanim Yilava Ishi Ilai. She's expressing a faith that they're going to be attached to each other. V'achein Lova Hilva, it's like a lender, somebody who borrows money. Matzayan Hiskashras Haduka Shel Shnei B'nei Adam. It's a reflection of an attachment of two people. Ba'kol Echad Roes Atzmo Kilove. Each one looks at each other like they borrowed. Ukaval Chov L'Sheni, like they owe the other one. V'rak Bo Hu Motzes Osher. And only through him, through it, do they find their happiness. Leficha Kara Shmo Levi, Yaakov Lo Leah. And that's why the Torah says that by Levi, Yaakov was really the one to name Levi. It's a reflection of the transformation of Yaakov's love to Leah. In the beginning, it was so clear that Yaakov loved Rachel and did not love Leah. And then by Levi, Yaakov's already naming the child, and he's expressing the idea that now their relationship is somewhat full. Now he's attached to her. So that's why it says that Yaakov names Levi. And then the last one, it says, Ilu yatza davar sar mipia haya bo misham yihiras. Ata she yatza mipia v'haisakan odas marunina es halev. So she didn't name him Levi, because that would have been haughty of her to be able to say that they're so attached to one another, her and Yaakov, but he did it. And it was an expression of his happiness. Lefichach, therefore, mishenolad haravi, once Yehuda was born, shuv lo rasa bo hiskadmas bilvad, bederach la'avas baila, she didn't see any favoritism. She saw that he loved her completely. Shekein zu kfar nisna la'kula, ata hi simcha b'simchas b'na, now she was just happy. Uke'am me'usherasi, like a normal mother, kora latma hapam odes harashem al matanaso bilvad, al kein karashmo Yehuda. Okay, and that's why she calls him Yehuda. So Rav Hirsch is really in line with the Ramban, and it's a beautiful shot of the Torah. Rav Hirsch is saying that, like the Ramban, initially it was so clear that Leah was hated and Rachel was loved, and there was a transformation of Yaakov's relationship to Leah through having children, and each child reflected a further development of the transformation of Yaakov's hatred to Leah to a love towards Leah, and each name reflects how the hashgacha towards Leah through her having children affected Yaakov's relationship to her. How she started off as a snua, and it starts off with Reuven. She says, "Ra'ad Hashem ba'onyi ki atah yevani ishi." She starts off as a snua, and then ultimately she's like a regular mother. It says that hapam odes ad Hashem al kein karashmo Yehuda. She names her child just to thank Hashem for giving her a child. She's no longer as concerned with the relationship that she has with Yaakov, and now she can focus just on having children. So the idea that the Ramban and Rav Hirsch are saying is really emphasizing the purpose of the Torah teaching us about the names. The naming of Leah of her first four children was a reflection of the transformation of their relationship, the relationship between Leah and Yaakov, how it started off at the opposite end, and how the Hashgacha, by having Leah, you know, have children, how the Hashgacha transformed the relationship to one where Yaakov truly loved Leah because of the fact that she was the mother, like the Ramban says, she was imasan shel elu, that he saw her now as the mother of the Shvatim, and he loved her and he wanted to be with her. So I think the Rav Hirsch is really a furtherance of the Ramban's idea. And what's interesting is if you look on in the Psukim, so skip the Radak and the Malbim for now. And if you go further, if you go into source number 7, so when we get to the last names of Leah's biological children, or biological sons and daughter, it says, Vayishma lokem el Leah vatar vatelid Yaakov ben chamishi. So she has a fifth son, Vatomer Leah nasan elokem schari asher nasati shiv chasili ishi vatikroshimo Yisachar. So her first name is for Yisachar, and it's a reward for giving up Zilpah to Yaakov. And then it says, Vatar o Leah, Vatelet ben Shishil Yaakov, Vatomer Leah Zivadani, Elokim osi zevet tov hapam yizbaleni ishi, hialati lo shishavanim, Vatikra shemo zivulun. And by the sixth son, she says that she's been given a good portion, and the pshat is that now Yaakov will exalt her, because she had six children, and she calls his name Zivulun. So the pshat, and the Sforno agrees with this idea, the Sforno says that Leah was rewarded for her action with regard to the giving up Zilpah and being unselfish, and the other is a reward for the Dudaim, the story of the Dudaim, how she really wanted to be with Yaakov and she wanted to have more children with Yaakov, so she's rewarded for each one. But you see in the last names that she's no longer preoccupied, it seems like, with the idea of Yaakov loving her based on the pshat. It seems more like she's able to recognized how the Hashgacha has really benefited her, and she's not obsessed, or she's not discussing or describing the relationship that she has with her husband through the naming of her children. And the last one, it says, Apam Yizbaleni Ishi, my husband will exalt me. So there's different pshatim on what that means. Rashi's a different pshat, but according to the basic level, she's really just proud. She says that Yaakov will be proud of her, but it's not really an idea that she no longer feels unloved, and she no longer feels like she's hated, and she doesn't need to have children in order for the relationship to grow and to develop. So the Ramban and Rav Hirsch are really consistent in that sense. It starts off that Leah Sinua, after she has her first four children, the relationship between Leia and Yaakov develops into one that's a loving relationship. She recognizes that Yaakov truly loves her. And then afterwards, when she has her biological children after that, she simply can name them after a recognition of Hashgacha and how the Hashgacha relates to her, and how she feels like she was rewarded from Hashem. So it's really the purpose of the names is to show us not just not how the names affect the children, but to show us what Leia was thinking about, what was going on in the story, and to show us how the Hashgacha worked relative to Leia, how it helped Leia become beloved by Yaakov, and ultimately she's able to become just a regular normal mother, and she names her children after these beautiful ideas, these beautiful concepts in the Hashgacha. So that's one way to go. And the other way to go is a little bit different, is slightly different, and it's more in line with the Radak and Rashi. So the other way to go, if you go back to source number 3, the Ramban, at the very end of the Ramban, he quotes the Radak. So he says, V'yish omrim haradak, kishtaim nashim sha'achas ha'uva me'od tikra shnia senua kenegda. So the Radak learns that it's not that Leia was really hated for her trickery, but it's just relative to Rachel, she wasn't as loved. And that's why she's called a snua. It doesn't mean that she's really hated by Yaakov, but Yaakov loved Leia. He just didn't love Leia as much as he loved Rachel. Kemosha Amar vayehav gam es Rachel milea, lo shesana v'haisa busha bedavar, v'ra lo kem es anya. It's not that Yaakov really hated Leia, but it was a relative idea that she was snua relative to Rachel. That Rachel was loved, and she was truly pained by this. Leia was in affliction, in pain, in inui because of this fact. So, according to this idea, the Radak, it's not that there is a transformation of being hated to being loved, but really the naming of Leia's children reflected the unhappiness that she felt because she wasn't as favored as Rachel. And that's what the Torah is trying to reflect to us. But why do we need to know that in the naming of the children? Why is it necessary? What do we learn from this concept? So that's the question. So if you look in the Malbim, in source number 6, the Malbim explains, I think, the Shita of the Radak. So the Malbim says, Ki rad Hashem ba'ani, ki shama ki snu anochi, rotza lomar shalif amim yomar shira ad Hashem, b'lif amim yomar shishama ad Hashem. Sometimes the Torah says that Hashem sees, and sometimes it says that He hears. V'hu emanene yada mitzarosa v'espalo alehem, yitar b'lashon shmia. So if a person's in pain and they daven, so that is the lashon of Shmiah, that Hashem heard their tefillah. Uvemakom she'eno margish b'tzaraso, but when there's no connection, the person's not mispalel. Rak Hashem ayodea talumos ra be'ana v'yochach. So, but Hashem can see man's pain. Yitor b'lashon re'ia. That's when it's Hashem responds just by seeing man's pain, and that's called re'ia. V'hinei le'a lo hergisha tchilash Yaakov sana osa, v'lo hergisha rachisaron ava v'lo sana. So Leah didn't believe that Yaakov hated her. She just felt unloved. She didn't feel as loved as Rachel. She'achar she'od lo yalda lo ola bedaita she'ishtashe ima k'moim Rachel asher ava. She thought before she had children that Yaakov would only want to be with Rachel, not with her. V'alkein lo hispalo adayin rak ad Hashem ra ba'anya. She didn't daven. She just felt a little unloved. She was unhappy, but Hashem saw how painful it was. So really, Leah saw that Hashem responded to her inui, and she recognized the mercy of Hashem, and she calls him Reuven. Velo amra shesana. She doesn't say that he hated her. Rak amra ki ata yevani ishi. She says, now my husband will love me. Aval achar sheyalda bein shechashva sheata roy shetiyeh chashuva bein al kerachel. Once she had a child and she thought that she could be as important in his eyes, in Yaakov's eyes, Rachel, v'raso shlo nishtana in yana etzlo, she saw that it didn't change. Yaakov still loved Rachel more. Hergisha she sana osa v'ispalala, she sensed that there was a hate there, and she davened, v'alze amar ki shama ad Hashem es filasi ki snu anachi. That's by Shimon. So what do we see from the Malbim and the Radak? So it sounds like they're painting a different picture. They're saying that Leia started off senua, that she wasn't hated, but she felt like she wasn't as loved as Rachel. But the Torah is teaching us that Leia was able to take her frustration, her personal frustration, and channel it towards Hashem. She was able to utilize her frustration to give her a greater understanding of Hashem's mercy and Hashem's kindness. So when it says, in the purpose of the naming I believe, according to the Malbim and the Radak, is to show us how Leah's relationship with Hashem really grew out of her frustration in this situation, that she was able to really understand and perceive greater knowledge about Hashem's kindness and his chesed through her, or from, or coming from the standpoint of her frustration in this situation. And that was the purpose of the names. The names teach us that it teaches us how she was able to relate to Hashem and how she was able to see Hashem and give thanks to Hashem, even from the state of frustration that she was in. But nevertheless, she was never really satisfied with her relationship with Yaakov. She always felt not as loved as Rachel. And the raya for that is Rashi. If you look in source number 7, so Rashi says, on Yizbaleni, in the naming of Zvulun, what does it mean? It means base Zvul. It says, I don't know how to read that in French, Old French. Here, Baria, Balaz, Besa Mador, a dwelling house. Ma'ata lote ikar diraso el imi sheishav libanim kenege kol nasho. By Zvulun, Leah, according to Rashi, Leah was saying that once I have 6 children, now Yaakov's ikar bias, his essential household, will be with me. So you see from the Rashi's interpretation that even by the end, by Zvulun, Leah still felt a need for the love of Yaakov. She still felt unloved by Yaakov, and the names of her children are still a reflection of how her frustration affected her relationship to God, how her frustration affects how she views Hashem, how she gained an understanding of Hashem, and it came from a state of frustration. So the Torah is, so there's two approaches, I believe, to the importance of the naming of Leah to her children. One approach is that it shows the transformation of the relationship of Yaakov to her, that she was initially hated because of her actions, and then ultimately, through having children, and each child affected Yaakov's love, and ultimately Yaakov loved her, and she was really satisfied with the love that Yaakov gave her at that point. And after that point, all of her children are just a reflection of how her thanks to Hashem and the Hashgacha. Or the other approach is like the Radak and the Malbim, that really Leah always felt frustration, and she never really felt, even with her last son, Zvulun, she never really felt that she could be loved like Rachel. But the purpose of the names are to teach us a certain perfection that we should learn from Leah, that Leah was able to channel her frustration in the appropriate direction. She was able to take the frustration that she had and be able to gain in her appreciation of Hashem and appreciation of his kindness towards her, you know, from the frustration that she had in the situation. So you have two different approaches to the significance of the names. Okay? So the last point here in this year, not much longer, but the shir is on Reuven. There's an interesting medrash on Reuven. It always bothered me, and I think I have an idea to explain it. But there's a Rashi based on a Gemara. And Rashi says, go back to source number 1. It says in Pasuk Lamed Beis, Vatar Leah Vatelen Bein Vatikrashimo Reuven Ki Amro Ki Rad Hashem Ba'oni Ki Atalya Vani Ishi. So the pshat is that she recognized that Hashem saw her inoy, her affliction, and now my husband will love me. So if you look in source number 10 in Rashi, it says, Vatikra Shemo Reuven, Rabosinu Pirshu, Chazal explained, Amra, Ra'u Ma Bein Beni Leven Chami. So look at the difference between my son Reuven and the son of my father-in-law, meaning Esav. Shemachar Bechor Yaakov. So Esav sold the Bechor to Yaakov. Vizeh Lo Machra Le Yosef. Lo Irer Alav. But Reuven never sold the Bechor to Yosef, and he never complained about it. Velo och lo irer alav, el shebikesh lehotziu min abor. Not only did Reuven not argue with the idea of Yosef getting the Bechor, but he even tried to save Yosef from the boar, even though he wasn't successful. So the question that always bothered me about this Rashi is, this doesn't seem like something to be so proud of. It's one thing to be proud of, well, there's two questions, but it's one thing to be proud of a son who's a Bechor, who takes on the leadership position, but she's almost, it doesn't seem like something to be so proud of, that your son is not a Rasha. You know, she's just saying he's a Bechor and he's not a Rasha like Esau. But he didn't really, these are not really positives, they're really negatives in Reuven, they're not really the most positive attributes. So why is she thinking of this in this way? Why does she think of Reuven and think about the idea that he's not like Esav? It's not such a great accolade to say you're not like Esav. And the other question is, how did she know about this? Is this just a nevuah? I mean, this is all in the future. So how did she know what was going to happen to Reuven, that Reuven was really not going to be Ma'ar on Yosef? So what exactly is the purpose of this medrash? What is this medrash adding to the particular of naming Reuven Reuven beyond the pshat? So that's a question. Okay, so before we get to an answer, just some a side question also that I asked on this, and Rav Chaim Paltiel takes up, which is that when he saved Yosef, it was before Yosef was given the Bechor. So what does it mean that he didn't complain? And not only did he not complain that Yosef got the Bechor, but he ended up trying to save Yosef. But Yosef didn't get the Bechor at that point. He didn't know that Yosef was going to get the Bechor at that point. So how do we? Why are we saying that this was a milah, this is a greatness of Reuven? It's not factually true. He didn't know at that point. At the point where Yosef was placed in the bor, Yosef was not the Bechor at that point. Reuven had lost the Bechor, but Yosef was yet to become the Bechor. So he explains in source number 11 that really what caused Reuven to lose the Bechor was the story of Bilha. That after Rachel died, I'll just do it outside, we don't have to look at it inside, but after Rachel died, so what happened was Reuven was upset because Yaakov moved his bed into Bilha's tent. And Reuven felt that it was really important that Yaakov set up his tent or set up his household with his mother, with Leah. And he moved Yaakov's bed from Bilha's tent into Leah's tent. And because of that, he lost the Bechor. And I have given shir on this also in the past, on this concept. But the Rav Chaim Paltiel says that even though he didn't know that Yosef was going to be the Bechor, but he explains that he had an inkling that Yosef was going to be the Bechor because he recognized that Yaakov favored Yosef and that he loved Yosef the most. So he sensed that Yosef was going to be the Bechor even prior to Yosef getting it. So after Reuven lost the Bechor, he sensed that Yosef was going to be the one chosen, and nevertheless, he still tried to save Yosef. But again, the question on this medrash is, what is the greatness of Reuven that he wasn't like Esav? You know, why is that such a greatness that he wasn't as bad as Esav, and what does it reflect about his name? Why is it reflected in his name? So one last point here, and then we'll get to an answer. So let's look at the Gemara itself. In Brachos, the Gemara that Rashi is quoting, it says, Reuven, Amar of Elazar, Amar Leah, Reuman, Bain, Beni, Leven, Chami. Look at the difference between my son, Reuven, and the son of my father-in-law. The Ilu Ben Chami, Afal Gav, Demidaite, Zavne, Lebechiruse. So by Esav, he sold his Bechor willingly. Dechsiv, Ayim, Kors, Becharos, El Yaakov, Chazu, Maksiv, Be, Vayistam, Esav, Es Yaakov, Uchsiv, Ayomer, Hachi, Karash, Mo, Yaakov, Vayakvini, Sepa, Mayim. So he thinks that he was tricked, but he really willingly sold it. Even though it was stolen from him, it was taken from him, he didn't willingly give it up. Because of the fact that he degraded his father's bed, that's why he lost the Bechor to Yosef. He wasn't jealous of Yosef. So the Gemara says that Reuven was not jealous of Yosef at all, even though he knew that Yosef was going to be the Bechor, and he lost it. And even so, he tried to save Yosef. So what is the idea here? What's the concept that really explains the naming of Reuven in the Medrash? What's the Medrash trying to show us? And why was this such a milah in Reuven? So if you look at the chet of Reuven again, as I mentioned, it was really the idea of moving the beds. And Rashi says in source number 14, Vayishkav, Mitoch Shebilbel Mishkavo, Male Alav Akasov Kilu Shachva. It says in the pasuk that he slept with Bilha, but because he moved the beds, it's as if he slept with Bilha. Velama Bilbel Vechilel Yetzuav. Why did he do this? Why did Reuven move the beds? Ukshemesa Rachel, Natal Yaakov, Mitaso, Shahaisa Nisuna, Tadir Baal Rachel, Velobishar Oalim, Menasna Baal Bilha. So Yaakov moved his bed to Bilha's tent. Bar Reuven, v'tivar alvon imo. So he was angry, Reuven, and he tried to defend the shame of his mother. Amar im achos imi haisa tsar li'imi. If my mother's sister was a tsara, shivchas achos imi te tsar li'imi. The shivcha should also be a tsara. Lachin bilbel. So therefore, he mixed it up. He moved the bed of Yaakov into Leah's tent, and that's why he was punished. So what do we see from Reuven's chait? So Reuven's chait, part of his chait, was that he really identified with his mother. That he really sensed that his mother was unloved. If you hold like Rashi, and you hold like the Malbim and the Radak, he really sensed that his mother was unloved. And he really identified with his mother, which is normal for a son, to identify with their mother and to defend their mother. But the idea is that Leia, perhaps, the Medrash is saying that Leia understood that it was going to be tough for Reuven to be the Bechor because of the fact that Leia was in a state where she felt unloved, and she recognized that Reuven would identify with her. And that would be a problem in terms of being the Bechor, being the leader, because the leader would have to really have a certain type of relationship to Yaakov, a relationship where he always felt indebted and always felt, submissive to Yaakov. And Reuven's loyalty was more towards his mother, and he identified with his mother's state. So the idea is that Leia understood that, and there was nothing that could be done, and it's not like Reuven didn't have Bechira, he still had free choice. But ultimately, the idea of the Medrash is saying that Leia focused on trying to make sure that Reuven had respect and he had a certain relationship to the importance of Bechor in the Mesorah. And despite the fact that she saw or she sensed that Reuven might run into trouble, that he might have a trouble being the Bechor because of the fact that he would naturally identify with her and her state of feeling unloved relative to Yaakov and have a certain aggression towards Yaakov. But nevertheless, she really tried to focus her energy in raising him on demonstrating the importance of Klal Yisrael and the Bechor and the idea of Bechor, not on a personal level, but on a level of Klal Yisrael. So the purpose of the Medrash in naming Reuven is trying to show us the mindset of Leia, that Leia was keenly aware of the fact that her feeling of being unloved by Yaakov might have an effect on her oldest son and how that might impact the Bechor. But nevertheless, in raising him, she made sure to keep him in the Mesorah and made sure to teach him the idea that the Bechor is more important than just personal Bechor, and it should be respected despite the fact that he lost it. So the idea is that Leia was aware of the potential dangers that would emerge from Reuven's personality, from his relationship to her, and she was aware of that, and she made sure in raising him that she would focus her energies on trying to get him to recognize the importance and the significance of the philosophical significance of the Bechor. And even though, and that's what she's proud of, meaning the idea is the idea of her pride was that she really focused her child rearing of Reuven on this idea. And ultimately Reuven did fail, but he still had Bechira, he didn't have to, and it was his choice, but she recognized that this would be difficult for him, that he was in a difficult situation. So I think that's what the Medrash is trying to hint at about the naming of Reuven. All right, so I just want to summarize this shir. There's really, I would say, four different ideas. The first point in the shir was on the significance of names in general. And the Medrash says that there's a lot of different alignments of names, bad names with good people, and good names with bad people, and there are four different categories. But the purpose of the Medrash, in terms of trying to analyze Chumash, is to teach us that when we focus on the naming, we should focus on the namer, not the person being named. That names don't have as much of an impact as we want to believe, as we fantasize about on the child. And you see that from the fact that you have people with beautiful names that act poorly and vice versa. So the idea of a name in the Torah is more focused on the level and perfection and personality of the person naming and not the person being named. And then we went into two different approaches to the naming of Leah's children. One approach was that it demonstrated a transformation of Yaakov's relationship to Leah and his perception of her, and it transformed from one of hate to one of love. And the other approach was that really Leah felt unloved relative to Rachel her whole life, and she used that frustration as a springboard to really understanding the kindness and the rachamim of Hashem and how the Hashgacha worked, and really that's reflected in the names. So that's the other approach. And the last idea is Reuven, that there seems to be a medrash that mentions that she's very proud of Reuven, that he wasn't like Esav. So why was she mentioning that? Why was she so proud of that? What did she see? So she sensed, based on the explanation, she sensed that Reuven might have difficulty with Bechor because of her situation, because she felt unloved. If you hold like Rashi and the Radak, she felt unloved. She knew that it would be natural for her firstborn to identify with her, and she sensed that might cause some conflict with Yaakov, and it did ultimately. But knowing that, she still tried to focus her energies on demonstrating the importance of the Bechor to Reuven, despite the fact that it wasn't his, and therefore she was proud of that, meaning that she focused her energy on that concept, on the concept of expressing the importance of the Bechorah to Reuven so that he would still remain a part of Klal Yisrael and a leader in Klal Yisrael. All right? Okay, great. So any questions on the shiur tonight? Anybody have any questions? All right. Well, everyone, thanks for calling in. Have a good Shabbos.